You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, H-Y-P-E-R-T-H-E-T-I-C-A-L.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill, the story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill, you stay in Wonderland, and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
What's up, everybody? It's Noah Daniels.
Hey, y'all. I'm JJ.
Hey, guys. It's Kat.
And we've got a blast from the past, and she's here to share a never-be-heard. That sounds like a weird bird. A ghost story that she's never shared on the podcast. So we're really excited to hear that. Catherine, thank you so much for coming back on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here again.
I think you might have changed your social media since you were last on. Is that right?
I have. It's back to my maiden name. So lots of life changes. It's my first name is still Catherine, and then it's .Ostrowski. So I know that's a mouthful. I'm sure it'll be like clickable in your show notes and stuff, but
yeah,
very sure. Polish.
Well, Catherine, yeah, we're excited to have you on. We also have the lovely Kat and JJ, as we said. So
it is. It's really strange to hear you say Catherine, because I think I go by Catherine most of the time, but on the podcast, I'm Kat. And I'm so not used to hearing you say Catherine. So I'm like, what? Am I in trouble?
Catherine, I'm glad we've got you on. It's been a hot minute. I know you've had a lot of life changes going on. And I reached out because I've been meaning to get you back on. And I also realized that you had never been on with Kat and JJ, which is wild, too.
I know.
Never had all of us on at one time.
We've been waiting for a meeting of the Catherines, and it's finally happening.
Hi, Katie Catherine.
Yeah. Probably be the title of this episode.
The meeting of the Catherines.
So, Catherine, why don't you kind of update us on where your life is, where you are as far as practicing your mediumship, just kind of everything that's been going on.
Yeah, well, since the last time we talked, the podcast I was doing, Murder and Mediumship, is no more. And that came about for a couple of reasons. Number one, I was going through a lot in my personal life with my now soon-to-be ex-husband. So I was going through a lot of major life changes and transitions. So I stopped doing the podcast because it was just a little too heavy, you know, all of the murder and missing children. And I was focusing a lot on Indigenous people and underrepresented communities. So it was just heavy. And I thought, you know, I need to take a step back. This isn't monetizing right now in a way that is valuable for the time that I have. And I needed to be a little selfish in that. So I stepped back from that, and I was on the brink of going through a divorce. And you want to talk about intuition, because I promise this will all tie together. Whatever little drip drops of Adderall are left in my system will get me through this episode of focus here. So
we all understand that.
So regardless, way back when I got married in 2012, not long after we got married, I had caught my ex talking to someone else on like a Facebook Messenger. It was an old friend from high school we were close enough to out of high school that I kind of shrugged it off. Like, oh, you ran into each other, whatever. But not long after that, a couple years later, we had our first child together. And this is the first time that my intuition spoke to me in such a loud way that it could not be ignored. This is ghost therapy, we said, right?
So yeah, 100%. Yeah. Let it out. Safe space here.
Right? I'm not a phone checker. I don't believe you should be in a relationship with someone that you can't trust. I think that is like a pretty solid foundational goal there. Like, you can trust the person you're with. Yeah. So I was walking past, our son was 6 weeks old, our oldest, and I was walking past the baby monitor down in the kitchen. And at the same time, his phone was sitting there charging. And I heard clear as day in my head, check his phone. And it was like, kind of like in the movies. And I hate saying that because I try so hard to debunk all the stuff in the movies with this work. But it literally was like this moment where I stopped and I looked at his phone, and it was almost like you can see the thought bubble over my head. I'm like, check his phone. Why would I do that? So I picked it up and I scrolled through it, and I'm like, you know, there's nothing in here. That was just like postpartum anxiety. I'm a little crazy right now, hormones, whatever, and everything's fine. But he had just been on a trip out of town as well. So I think that was part of where my energy was just off a little bit. And I put his phone on. I said, see, it's fine. And I took one step, not even a full step, like 1 foot hit the ground. The other one was still planted, and I heard check again. So I picked it up and I pulled on the down part of the menu. If anyone has like Android phones, I know, like, I don't know, in 2012, it had like that extra pull down. So I pulled the menu down, and there was a hidden texting app on there. And I opened it, and there was like these video chats with this other woman. And I mean, she was in another country, but it was still really inappropriate. Like, I won't get into details, but it was bad. I went upstairs and I said, look, like, if there's anything you want to tell me, you should tell me. And denied to his core. And that should have been when I went, like, you know what? Nah, this is not a smart idea, but we just had a baby, right? So fast forward almost 12 years, and I kind of like this cycle kept repeating. And when we moved into our house in a different area out here, we bought like a 6-bedroom house together. My business was doing really well. We moved into the house. My business plummeted. The podcast got too heavy. The ceiling started leaking. The shower almost fell through, all within like the first 2 to 3 months we were in there. Like, if I am telling you that the universe wants something to happen, I am telling you, like, they like full steam ahead with that stuff. It was awful. And eventually I ended up finding way more than I needed to find. And I brought it all to his attention. I said, I'm done. This isn't a thing anymore. I work in empowering women. I'm not sticking around for this. I've given you more than your fair share of chances. Like, get out. And that's like the abridged version of everything. So we started, but this matters because that listening to your intuition, the majority of the women I connect with on my calls are wondering where they are in their personal lives. Why is my marriage or my relationship or none of this going well? And I feel like X, Y, and Z is going on, but we're too afraid to really listen to our intuition. So we ignore it, because the truth might be scarier than like the fiction that we live in and trying to just like hold on to that image that we like really strongly desire, right? So intuitively, with everything that was going on, I shut down the podcast. I kind of took a backseat. I made like enough to get by and just went into like hermit mode. And honestly, it was wonderful. It was like 2020 round two. I was just out of touch with everyone. And I moved back to Virginia Beach into a rental. I got really fortunate. You talk about manifesting. I actually, the night before you reached out to me to be on here, I had said to someone, I was like, you know what? I want to be on Real Hauntings again. Why haven't I been on there in a while? And then the next day you messaged me. I was like, look, I'm telling you.
Oh, that's weird.
So anyway, I moved back to Virginia Beach with my 3 boys, and I do have like 8, 6, and 3, like they're young and wild and completely unhinged at all times. But we moved back to a house in Virginia Beach, and we've been here since June of last year, just kind of figuring things out and going along the way. And a lot has shifted. I rebranded because it just felt like where I'm going with the spiritual work. I started doing more mediumship again. I had really kind of tapped out of that when I went into hermit mode. And I was having trouble even connecting. And I share that because I think a large portion of your audience is fairly intuitive as well. And a lot of them end up coming to me and they've been like, how do I grow this? Or how do I do this? Or I can relate to that. And it's so important that you realize when one thing in your life is a mess, it's really hard to connect to your own gut instincts because your anxiety speaks louder than that. And I realize this is like a little off topic for what you're like normally on brand for. You got to listen to that. So for anyone listening who second guesses those intuitive nudges, you dig deep and you just listen, because that's where everything kind of flows together when you're in that like logic and intuition flow at the same time. So all of that said and done, yeah, branding's changed. I'm still doing mediumship calls. I'm shutting down my website and just working out of kind of like a landing page that you can click onto and just kind of going from there and hanging out with my weird little psychic kids.
Yeah, and it's good to see that, you know, you're able to land on your feet. That's a lot of life changes that is hard for anybody.
You know? Thank you. I appreciate that though.
So yeah, so tell us about Ghost. No, yeah, we do want to obviously, I think you were going to talk about the haunted home you grew up in.
Yeah, because this also kind of lends into like how I started doing what I do and how many things like lit up for me as a kid and as a teenager that I can't believe. Like, I'm one of those people who loses their keys while they're holding them. The more obvious it is to everyone else, the less obvious it is to me. Right. Yep. I didn't see that motion at all.
Yeah, I totally relate to that.
Yeah. So the house I grew up in, so my parents actually still live in this house. They bought that house the year I was born in 1989. And they've been there like since a Taylor Swift album ago. And they have definitely, so my stepdad's there now. My dad was there before, but my stepdad's not very open to this kind of thing either, which is really funny because he's had experiences in that house too. And just some like historical background on that house. I grew up in upstate New York. I grew up in an area where there were a lot of immigrants, like Polish immigrants. It was a very large, like Polish, Italian. And from what I understand, the Polish people were typically ostracized and they were treated kind of as like the workforce, right? Like they're like the big ox kind of like workforce. And so they were also different, like other people other than like people of color were targeted by the KKK. And I don't know if everyone right. knows that. I think that might not be common knowledge for some at least. And so there was a very large chapter up in Genesee County, New York, where I'm from. And the house that's next door to the house I grew up in was the headmaster's house. So it was headquarters. Okay. Now that house is probably about, God, I think it was built in the 1880s. And the house I grew up in was built in the very early 1920s. I want to say like 1921. So they're both older homes. Okay. And I swear to God, that house has the original insulation. It's freezing in there. But maybe it's the ghost. I don't know. So that house has a lot of history to it to begin with. And then you add to that at the top of the street, and this is like verifiable also, there was a house that used to be like a drugstore office. And that was a stop on the Underground Railroad because that area is pretty close to Canada. It's about an hour and a half or so by car. So that was part of the route to get to like the Niagara River and those places to cross over into Canada for safety. So there's a lot of opposing history there, right? And we're like at the bottom of the street and the safe house is at the top. As a kid, I remember being in that house and there would be times. So it's like outside of Buffalo, New York, it snows like half the year, right? That might be a slight exaggeration, but like a lot of snow. So we would be sitting like in the living room all watching TV, and we grew up with miniature poodles, like whatever. But our dog, Copper, would be sitting like on the couch with us. And you'd hear, it was always three on the side door, knock, knock, knock. Okay. And then you go to answer the door, the dog's barking. Everyone in the house heard it, all four or five of us, depending on who is home. And you go open the door, and it matters that there was snow there because there should be footprints in the snow and there's nothing. Mm-hmm. And there are no, like, there's no trees like there. This is next to the driveway. So like the car would be pulled in there. There's just the door and it's a heavy wooden door. So you're not catching like anything hitting it. Everyone heard it running to the door, like the dog going crazy. No one's there. This happened a lot. Once I hit, I don't know, probably about a teenager or so, I had a lot of friends who would not stay the night in this house because we'd all go to sleep. You know, when you're like a teenager having your sleepover, like you all sleep, especially there, if it was the summertime, we didn't have air conditioning. So we'd sleep on the floor downstairs under the fan and we'd be sleeping. And I remember having a friend, we had to be like 15 years old, like way too old to call your parents and go home. Right. And she's like, I am going home. I'm not staying here, because you could hear in the middle of the night, it was like someone was coming down the stairs. Like you could hear the walking with their wooden steps. And then toward the end, you hear like thud, right? It was the craziest thing. So this was a really small town. Okay. I was one of 67 kids to graduate in my class. I mean, small. Okay. I always tell people I was top 10%, but then when I have to tell them that, I'm like, it's not that big of a flex anymore. It turned out that one of my friends, his mom grew up in my house as well. So she told him when he started hanging out there that the person they bought it from was a widow. And she lost her husband to a heart attack, and he had the heart attack going down the stairs. So he fell down the last few steps. Around that same time, we would all play, you know, when kids went outside, we'd all play Ghost in the Graveyard at night. So we
back in the day.
Yeah, I don't know. Did you guys play that Ghost in the Graveyard or just hide and seek?
We just played hide and seek.
We're like flashlight tag.
Yeah, I don't remember what the difference was, but I feel like it was everyone looking for one person. Like it was a flip of it.
Oh, well, we called that sardines.
Yes!
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So we'd all get together and play, and like the houses like right behind them. It was a smaller like village kind of area. So everything was walkable. Everything had sidewalks. We were playing, and I will never forget this so long as I live. My older brother was an asshole. He still is, but like he lives to mess with you. He would do anything he could to scare the bejesus out of his younger sisters, right? Because that's your job as an older brother. Mm-hmm. But I remember standing in our driveway, and we were one of the only like stone driveways left on the street. We were so freaking poor. So we were like one of the only dirt driveways. Everyone else was paved, right? Like, but I remember that matters because you could hear the stones kick when someone would run across it, right? So you'd be like, oh, they're back by the garage, hiding between the garage and the fence. So you'd run over there to find them. So I thought I heard my brother going over there, and I'm looking, but for whatever reason, like hindsight now, it's because it felt off, but I saw like someone in a gray t-shirt, like a light gray shirt. It was nice, really well lit, but it's dark enough that you're not sure what you're seeing, right? Like exactly. And I'm looking and I'm like, Jake, you really need him to answer me. And he's not moving. Like he's just kind of like crouched down, like looking like at the neighbor's fence directly. And like, what is he fucking looking at? And my brother comes up behind me. He's like, are you looking at Butt Munch? That's what he always called me. Isn't that nice? Brothers are great. Yeah. Yes. And so he yells at me and I'm like, oh no. And when I look back over there, no one's there.
This episode of the Real Hauntings, Real Ghost Stories podcast is brought to you by Wild Grain. Hey y'all, it's Noah Daniels, and oh boy, I just got my box of Wild Grain bread and pasta. My whole family has been so excited to dive in. We started with a sourdough, and it was amazing. If you're looking to make Mother's Day brunch planning easier or just looking for a great gift for your mom, you've got to check out Wild Grain. Order before May 6th to get your box in time for Mother's Day. Wild Grain is the first ever bake from frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, fresh pastas, and artisanal pastries. Every item bakes frozen in 25 minutes or less, no thawing required. The next thing up for us to try is the biscuits with our breakfast. And you can now fully customize your Wild Grain box, so you can choose any combination of breads, pastas, and pastries. You can even build a box of only breads, only pastas, or only pastries if you'd like. Plus, for a limited time, you can get $30 off the first box, plus free croissants in every box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings to start your subscription. You heard me. Free croissants in every box and $30 off your first box when you go to wildgrain.com/hauntings. That's wildgrain.com/hauntings, or you can use promo code hauntings at checkout.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
That was fun, right? So we have the man falling down the stairs. We have the kid that we would see between the garage and the fence. And it turned out my sister saw him as well. But she really like shut off to all of this stuff. So like years later, we had these conversations about, I'm sure we had a lot of wine, and we're like talking about all the freaky stuff that happened to us in our house. And we're like, we're chatting with my mom, and she's like denying that any of this ever happened. And she had experiences in the house she grew up in. So I told my sister, I was like, do you remember seeing the guy on the side of the fence? She's like, yeah, wonder who that was. That was so weird. And she's like, and the girls on the way to Girl Scouts, we'd see the little girls on the side of the road. I'm like, you saw them too? Which sounds like such a little like psycho, like what runs in our family kind of conversation.
Wow.
But we had both seen all of these same spirits. And then going even farther into that game of ghosts in the graveyard, we would see, my brother would always go across the street. There's this house like across the street and down like two with this really long driveway that goes into this like abandoned field. And it's not like massive, but it's pretty big. And there's this really big green warehouse garage style thing in there. And the owner, though he did not own that garage, the town did, he kept his car in there all the time. It like was some like classic whatever. So my brother would hide back there because he knew no one would come looking for him. So I'm sure he's back there like smoking or whatever, right? So I would go look for him back there, and you could see in that garage, I will never forget, our faces pressed up to that glass looking, and we could see two people. It didn't make sense until I learned about the history of this town. Two people in white and one person in all red. Freaking headmaster and KKK members, right?
Oh my God.
So years later in school, someone brought a photo of what used to be their grandparents' house. I'm hoping they live there in the interim. I'm not really sure, but I don't want to get into their family dynamic there. Of their grandparents' house with a KKK funeral, just rows and rows of people in white, and they're all over my front porch and their front porch. And I am telling you, instantly, I was like, that's who I saw in the garage. But I think the scariest thing of all was when I was falling asleep, and I had to be in like the seventh or eighth grade, because at the time I was taking a language, taking Spanish, and I was half asleep. Like, I think I was, you know, when you're in that sleep state where like everything's black and you're asleep, but then you have like an image kind of come to you. Mm-hmm. Hand came down at my face. Like it was going to like engulf my face. And I heard, and this is going to be really bad German, but I heard it say like, ich habe dich. And I remember going to the French teacher, who was an exchange teacher from Germany. So fix that all up. But she was from Germany. I told her what I heard, and she's like, well, who said that to you? And I'm not going to tell her I had a dream and this hand came down at my face and spoke to me in German. I don't speak German. How crazy do I sound? But she said, that means I have you. Like, I own you. Ooh. Like, I will follow you wherever you go. I went, okay. And she literally said, like a stalker. I can still see standing in that high school, in that hallway, hearing her say that and seeing the concern on her face. And I go, great, good, awesome.
JJ, is that why you text me that all the time? I never knew what that meant.
Yeah.
Do you speak German?
I don't even speak German, but it just flows forth in my text messages.
I like how your eyebrows went up like, yep. And I was like, nobody can hear your eyebrows. No.
So that entity or whatever that said that to you, do you feel like that thing is still following you around? Is there kind of like a sense
attached
to it? I'm
not sure if it's followed me, but I will tell you, I'm 34 years old, if you didn't already do the math from the 1989 thing, and I am terrified when I go up to stay at that house. I have to like prep myself. I drive the whole way up, like the entire large ass state of Pennsylvania. I'm going, you're a bad bitch and you can control this shit. Like, don't worry about it. Like, you can send the light everywhere, bring your crystals, do the Reiki, all the things, cleanse the space before you get there, but also sleep with the light on. So I do, and I'm not, I wish that was a joke. I really do sleep with the light on there. I do feel like for a long time, there was a lot of energy that followed me like that, but I think that was more of a threat. I honestly, I think I know where I came from, which is also going to make me sound crazy, but I mean, if we're not already there, whatever, right? So my mom had a clock, a cuckoo clock, that was handmade in Germany during World War II. Okay. Her father gave her this clock, and this matters because he passed away last year. Well, she didn't have the clock up for a long time. And now, you know, she's got to pay homage to her dad. So the clock's back on the wall. And I hate this clock so much that she warned me before I came up for Christmas that she was putting it back up. She's like, Katie, I just want you to know I'm putting the clock on the wall. I'm
because
like,
cuckoo clocks are definitely the worst ever.
Because like, they are.
They're so obnoxious. Yeah.
Like, what is the point of it?
To annoy people.
I hate it.
I forgot about that. Our roommate got a cuckoo clock. And did we like make him take it down? Or?
Well, we don't have a roommate now, but this was back when we lived in the old lady apartment. He was like, if you unlock it, it'll go off every hour. But if you lock it, it won't make a noise all day. And so he would unlock it when he was home, but then forget about it. So yeah, we were like, you got to keep it locked.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Nope. Hers goes off every half hour. Once on the half hour, and the timing of the hour. Swear on my life, we got that clock. They hung it on the wall and it works for a little while. It kind of keeps time. I mean, by works, I mean like it operates, but it always fell behind. The clock would start going off like 13 times and then it wouldn't work for like days. And then all of a sudden it would go off like 13 times. And it's not like it's like 1 o'clock and like maybe it's doing some weird like military time thing. Also, why would it do that? But it never made sense. And it would just like, it'd be 6 o'clock. Oh, there's 13 of them. It just never kept the right time. And it was so, as soon as we put that thing in the room, this was like, it was the dining room slash like office-ish kind of area. So there was a desk in there and the computer. And you could hear like the clicky-clack on the keys, right? Just like typing away. No one was in there. And every time that would happen, my sister and I would always be, we were really close, but we'd be like, laying on the couch, like on opposite ends, like our feet like touching. And we both look at each other and go, you want to go to bed? And we go upstairs because we're done. We would shut those lights off and bolt up those stairs because it always felt like someone was right behind you. And just saying that, I can like feel the hair on my neck standing up. I hate it. I'm going to like get my 3-year-old to make them snuggle me tonight. Like you be here. Thank you.
Catherine, with all that activity in the home, did you ever confront any, like, did you ever visually see a spirit?
Had the
opportunity to like confront it or anything of that nature?
Yeah, it's actually a really funny story. So in 2018, and I only know this because it was the Christmas before I met my mentor, which was in like February of that following year in 2019. So, which is when I quit my job and like started doing this full time. So Christmas freaking Eve, okay? I am laying in bed with my son, Wesley. It's 2018. So he's like, 3, he must have just turned 3. And his brother is like a year and a half because they're way too close together. And he's sleeping in the other room and we're asleep. And I wake up in the middle of the night and there is a child on all fours, like on his elbows, on like his forearms and his knees. And he's just looking at me, like very intently, just like looking at me. This was the closest to me experience I have ever had. And I am telling you, you never know how you're going to react until you're in that situation. Because like I'd seen things on the side of the road. I'd seen a firefighter that wasn't there, like carrying a child past the house where a couple of people passed away. Like I've seen things, but this reaction was just so strange. I looked at it. Maybe it's the tired mom in me. I was just like, no, get the fuck out of here. But I looked at it and I closed my eyes really tight again. And I opened them. I'm like, why is it still here? And I close my eyes again and it's still there. And my son is laying like right, like practically under it. Right. So I like pulled him over very like nonchalantly pulled him over. And I like looked at it and I pushed my arm forward. Like it's going to punch it. What is that going to do? So I like, really, it's such a stupid response. So the next morning, like, and I closed my eyes again and I opened them. It was gone. The next morning, my mom comes into my room and she's so cute. She's all excited for her grandkids to have Christmas. So she's in her robe and her like little curls and everything. And she's so cute. And she's like, did you sleep okay? Like I'm 5 or something. I'm like, no, your freaking ghost kid was in here last night. She's like, what do you mean? And I told her and she goes, you punched it? I'm like, I really, this is a dumb reaction. And she goes, what if you would have hit it? Like, what if you didn't, like, did you go through it? What if you would have hit it? I'm like, mom, what is more concerning to you? That there was the spirit of a ghost in here Or would it, don't you think, be even more concerning if there were an actual child kneeling on the bed that I accidentally punched in your house? Like, I feel like Ghost is a better option somehow here.
Oh my gosh.
It is definitely better than a living human child sneaking into a house and getting punched.
What the hell?
Yeah.
And when are you going to burn the house down? Because that seems like the next logical step.
That woman, so you say that though, because there was a psychic who during COVID, I connected to a psychic up in Rochester, New York, who it's like maybe like 45 minutes away from my parents. And he's talking about my son and like how maybe he'll like work with like medical stuff someday. And like, I think he mixed them up because this is the same kid who asked me today. He was like, how come Papa always pulls grass out of her ears? We don't actually have grass in our ears. And his younger brother looks at me and goes, it's in his hand. So maybe, I don't know, maybe it wasn't that kid he was thinking of, but this psychic, he said, he goes, what's with the cuckoo clock? Completely out of nothingness. What's with the cuckoo clock? And I said, I'm sorry, what?
I know.
Your parents have a clock in their house. He's like, you realize that's like a dark portal. I'm like, well, I don't know how much of that I believe in because I don't want to, but sure. Yeah. I'm aware of the clock.
Cuckoo clock was a dark portal.
Mm-hmm.
That's where that little door that they go in and out.
It is a dark portal. Keep that bird in there. But really, he said, you need to like take it and like throw it over a cliff. Like, why do you have that? I said, well, I'm not going to put it in a moving vehicle with me. Like, if you're telling me this thing is evil, you want me to, even if it's not, and you're completely off base here, I'm not taking that chance.
Burn barrel.
Gas station food. Yeah, burn barrel. Let's put
drop
it in the backyard.
It in and light it up. Yeah.
Right. But she, that house, I was told that it's ours when she goes. So I guess we can burn it down then.
God. Well, I'll come over for that.
Some things have changed for you, like as far as where people can find you and that kind of stuff. If somebody does want to reach out to you, for a reading or any of the other medium guidance type things you do, what's the best way for them to do that?
Hop on social media, Instagram or TikTok, and just click my links and you can book a reading right there. It's way more simple than it was before. I'm teaching intuitive development classes again. I'm sure this is going to come out after that though starts, but intuitive development classes are back in the regular rotation, and group growing your intuition and like getting used to like setting boundaries with energy and with people is starting again soon as well in April. So lots of classes, lots of courses coming up, lots of freebies, a lot more organization has been happening over the last year. So hop on Instagram or TikTok and you can find all the things.
What's your Instagram handle? What do we call that?
No, that's an old people thing now, I guess. It's your at.
Yeah, what's your at?
So we're such millennials. My at is Catherine, Kathryn dot Ostrowski. It's Ostrowski. Exactly. Awesome. That's right.
Oh, I wasn't following you, but now I am.
I got to change it to like Little Boucha or something, I feel like, but like the Polish grandma, I don't know. The ADD train was in there.
Just some housekeeping. Just let everybody know that's listening, that's in the Southeast. Kat, JJ, and I will be attending the Atlanta Haunt.
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Ghost Convention.
Well,
Haunt Atlanta.
Haunt Atlanta. Yeah.
Haunt Atlanta.
Check out their website. I think it's literally like hauntatlanta.com, or just Google it. I'll have some more information posted on our social media. But yeah, it's a little later in the summer and we're super excited to attend, and we'll have more details coming soon. We'll be there with Joshua Darian and some other fun people that you've heard on the podcast. And yeah, so check that out. So with that, I'm Noah Daniels.
I'm JJ.
I'm Kat.
I'm Catherine.
We were so synchronized, all of us. We were like,
yeah.
That was beautiful. Yeah. It was harmonious.
All of our intuition just...
Shut up, JJ.
've you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's H-Y-P-E-R-T-H-E-T-I-C-A-L.